It's time for the Extreme Gaming Podcast with Gray, Trev, Matt, and Tarl, my gaming buddies.
Okay, a quick disclaimer. We had some massive technical problems on our last recording. So this particular recording is only about an hour long instead of our usual 90 minutes to 2 hours. We apologize. There's nothing we could do about it. But here comes our podcast, and now you know. Thanks. Bye. All right, we're going to kind of roll right into this. We're going to go for gaming news first. So Trev is up first with a bunch of stuff. Go ahead, Trev.
Gray, you've added the joys of being retired. He added a trailer to this. I only went last minute and literally had to watch it at the start with the audio off.
Which trailer are you talking about, guys?
GTA 6.
Barbed Wire 2. Pam Anderson's coming out of retirement.
Yes! Finally!
It's like she's got a wheelbarrow.
I've waited 20 years for this moment.
Her and Jordan are Katie Price are teaming up. It's a lot of plastic. It's a lot of plastic.
Yeah.
Right, where were we before we get sued? The first major thing, which isn't a shock to anyone, but Gray did add to make it more interesting, was I hope you didn't go down to the bookies. What did they call the bookies in America, Matt?
What are we here?
The betting shop.
Takers.
Over here it's bookies, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bookie there. As well, yeah. Is it? Right, okay, yeah. Bookies, right. Hope you didn't go down to the bookies and put a bet on GTA 6 coming out at the end of the year, because us schmucks here could have told you it was going to be delayed, and we'd said as much. They'll probably announce it nearer to time. And
we had an inkling.
Yeah.
They did. It was delayed until May next year, so it's pretty much 12, 13 months out now. I know we're not all surprised.
It's going to come out when 7 comes out.
I'm surprised.
Nah,
7.
If anything, they waited too close to when it would have come out, Tarl, to actually delay it. They should have actually just said it. Don't say what year is going to come out until you're like 90% confident you can nail it.
Yeah.
Even if it's 6 months before it comes out, just don't say it.
In the 2000s.
Trev, I've got a conspiracy theory for you.
Do
you want to hear it?
Is it like the Trump one to like get the stock market up and down?
No, it's related, right? This is my conspiracy theory. I thought about it just now, right? The reason that GTA 6 is delayed is because Half-Life 3 is going to launch for summer, and it didn't want to share the booking time with Half-Life 3.
Yeah, it knows better. It's one of the few games that could smash it about the park. Yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah.
I'm certain everybody is out there is all thinking the same thing. Like, oh, when can we release the game? Damn it, I wish it would tell me when Half-Life 3 would come out, so I knew.
I thought I was being super smart and original by thinking that.
Yeah, you watch. When they do announce it finally, Half-Life 3, you're going to see everybody move their schedule.
We'll get to that. Everybody. Yeah. Patience, young Padawans and old Padawans. It has been delayed. It's going to be next year. Apparently, if they kept to the original schedule, that dreaded crunch would have happened again. It make people just stressed out and do silly things and quit. And, you know, it's not good. And that's what would have happened. And actually, here's another thing to throw into the fire. The people that work at Rockstar, and it's not coming from me being based in Edinburgh, where one of their main studios is. It's just literally what I've read online through the grapevine.
Have you thrown things through their window then, Trev?
No, that's the next thing, man. I'm not pissed off. If I was obsessed with the game, I would have. I like it, but I'm not obsessed. They've actually threw fuel in the fire by saying they were never confident it was ever going to come out in time.
They say that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
so stupid.
So if the people working on it knew that, the chief execs probably did, but didn't want to admit it. It wasn't that long ago that the head honcho of Take-Two, who own Rockstar, said, no, everything's, you know, scheduled to come out before the end of the year, blah, blah. You must have known, man. Otherwise, you don't have a clue what's going on at your company, and that's a concern. So,
it's called what do we have to say to keep the shareholders happy?
Well,
don't say anything right away, because we'll lose money. Oh.
Well, it's not going to come out in this financial year now, so... I'm glad you reminded me, Gray. You look at the picture of the share price for... I don't know if it was Rockstar or Take-Two, and you look at it, I guess it would be Take-Two, wouldn't it? Because you wouldn't... And a sub-company wouldn't have its own share price, doesn't make any sense. At Take-Two, you just see it really, really high, and then the news drops of a delay, they go, ding! And I'm like, oh, you sad people, man. It's coming out. It's just been delayed. Ooh. Why are you moving your money about?
Now's the time to buy the dip, guys.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Go buy it right now. They made enough. They decided they made enough money, and they figured they could make the announcement now.
You know, well, they haven't even put it up for pre-sale. I would have maybe have done that now, because that's one way. Well, they will do it within this financial year, because that's one way of keeping the coffers nice and high and top until the game comes out. And then next financial year, it keeps doing well because it's selling on like a few platforms. So
I want to interrupt because I have two beefs with Rockstar in this. The one beef is that besides the fact that it's being delayed, is the fact that remember when they said that, like, well, we're going to put it out on consoles and then you're going to wait a year or two before we get it on PC. All right, so now it's delayed a year. That means that you should bring it out on PC as well when you bring it out. Don't tell me you're going to wait another 2 years plus the year we're going to wait to get it on PC.
Oh, it'll definitely be that.
I'm sure it will, but I'm arguing about it because it's ridiculous.
Right, they won't do that because the reason they're delaying it is to polish it and make sure it's good. They're using all the resource at the moment. They don't have the extra resource to then go and make the PC version.
No, I get it. They could put it out to another
studio. They could have done that. The problem they've got with that is if you put it out to another studio, that's what a lot of companies do, right? They'll focus on the console versions and give it to a PC specialist, which is fine. They focus their main resources on the console stuff and get it out.
Specialist.
But a game this big and in a magnitude of this size, if they'd done that a few years ago, there would have been a hell of a lot more leaks. Like you're opening the security gates, the floodgates there for things to leak out, and you want them to be ready at the same time with no one knowing nothing. So what they'll probably do is they'll probably give it out to someone soon, or work on it themselves and bring it out. So we're not seeing it for a while. Unless you want a console.
So, Trev, are you saying then that you think that it's going to launch almost simultaneously on PC and console?
No, it won't.
Not even the Switch 2 version will come out next year in May at the same time, I don't think, because they never, ever announced or released that information. So that'll come down the line, I think. That might come out at the same time as the PC version, actually.
Do you think then that there'll still be a year after the console release for PC or not?
Or two.
Minimum.
Okay,
year.
Fine. I thought you were saying that there wouldn't be because... Okay, yeah.
I thought you'd be facetious when you said that.
No, sorry, I misunderstood what you're saying.
This is what we were talking about before. I'm still pissed off and I'll stay pissed off. The fact that if they're going to come on PC, either release at the same time or... give it a 6 month, whatever.
To sweeten the deal, you've got a trailer out at the same time that will. It's about 2 hours, 2 minutes 45 seconds. This trailer, I think they just brought it out to sweeten the deal and make it. I had a quick look at it at the start of the pod. I couldn't really listen to it. It looks phenomenal in terms of the quality. It maybe is in game engine rather than actual. CGI, I'm not sure which it is, to be honest with you. So, but it looks good. It's more of the Bonnie and Clyde thing, the main couple that we see. This game is going to be feckin' huge when it comes out. I'm upset it's delayed. No, because like I said before, I'm not a fanatic on a game. I'm just interested. I would rather a game came out properly and gold release. I don't want this early access. It's good. I won't spend much more time on this. It's an obvious thing. Everyone knew about it. Bob's your uncle. We will move on from there. Go and watch the trailer just now. It came out about four or five hours for us recording this. Okay, moving on. A little quick small plug for any possible interesting games that are part of any Game Pass or free shenanigans, whatever. Most of them are usually crap, but there are some decent ones in there. Amazon Prime Gaming, a lot of us do have Prime at the moment. There was a couple of decent gems in that throughout the month.
Mm-hmm.
Saints Row, is that Gat Out of Hell or Cat Out of Hell? Yeah, it's the weird. They're using
Great
weird.
Name. Oh my god, I love that.
They're using weird font for that one actually. So I actually struggled to find out what that one was.
Like an AC/DC song.
Star Wars The Complete Saga, the Lego variety.
Got all them, yeah.
Before you get excited. Some people love them, some people hate them. Star Wars Galactic Background. I remember that one from back in the day, actually. And there was one that I had to Google, even though I was like, maybe it will actually be...
Battlegrounds, do you mean?
No, not that, my friend. Styx, Master of Shadows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I actually Googled. It actually looks decent. It does actually look very, very decent. The title sounded shit, mm-hmm. but everything else about it was absolutely fine. May the 8th, we've got Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. So it's not Youngblood, which means it'll be a good Wolfenstein game by default. Yeah, it's Gat out of hell. It's not Cat. I don't even know what a Gat is. What's a Gat? G-A-T.
Maybe it's the same as a nit or something.
Yeah.
The kids say Gat now for bum, so it could be that.
There you go. Bum blood.
Bum out of hell.
Bum out of hell. Yes. Bad syndrome. Right, okay. There you go. Okay.
That one's new to me. One that we played back in the day a little bit was Golf with Your Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which just want to, it's like Monopoly when you're losing. I just want to wreck the shop when I'm playing that. I'm not a fan. Legacy of Kain, Blood Omen 2, I've heard of that one. And then I think you've got a Thief game in there, Thief 2, The Metal Age.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it. So, yeah, a couple of decent things in there, but bear in mind, they're considered free games. It's just a perk of having your Amazon Prime membership.
Yeah, because if they wait till games get to like $1 and then they say, hey, it's free.
Like, yeah,
really? cost them a lot more than $1 to buy it in. So, yeah. The PlayStation Plus free games. Oh, I said free. I shouldn't use that word. It's part of your subscription. The ones you get to keep as long as you have an active subscription.
Sub games.
There was.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a mixed bag. Ark Survival Ascended. That's the remaster that came out, which I'm a bit pissed off about because I bought that for the PC. Not played it much, but hey. It looks shiny. It will just destroy your computer. I just think, no, it's for the PlayStation, so it's going to ruin your PlayStation because it's an optimized buggy mess, but at least on the PC, we can brute force it and use things like DLSS. You can't do that on a console so much, so...
Yeah, you're stuck.
Yeah. hey, wait for this one. Gray needs to Google this either now or after. Warhammer 40,000 Bolt Gun. It looks like an old-fashioned Wolfenstein Doom game, mate. It is. It looks batshit crazy. I love it. I love the art style, like 16 kind of bit. Just looks mental, and that could be a shout. And then Bellatro, the famous game that seems to just come out in everything and anything.
The card game,
the guy's made a fortune from selling it outright and then giving it a Game Pass to the PlayStation. And oh, yeah, I'm happy for him. Maximise that, man. Own it.
Yeah.
And there's some of the kind of best ones coming out at the moment. The other ones are a bit shit, so I won't talk about them. Before I get to the main bit of news, because I like teasing Tara a little bit, there was a game that came out on the PlayStation called...
Nothing,
it's a tease.
Nothing.
That's the whole point. It's a tease. You don't know about it. You've got to be patient. There was a game that came out on the PlayStation that first came out called Returnal, which is now on the PC. Now, I gave up on that because I went in the huff. I went in a bad mood. I kept dying, which is the name of the game. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Go and stick
Journal
your Returnal up your arse. Yeah. I turned it off, never played again. And I felt it looked pretty good. The concept of it was actually pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. It's the developer Housemarque, who PlayStation, Sony literally bought them after that game came out. It done so well. A very, very good game. They've got that other game coming out 26, 27, the one that looks similar, I can't remember what it was called. It was the guy at the end looking at the sun with like a 4 or 5 bloody hands coming out of it. It looked like it was in an alien world. Looked really, really good. But this game, Returnal, they went back to it and actually put a big, massive, juicy patch for PS5 Pro to actually ramp the frame rate and the graphics right up. They'd done such a good job, I never noticed that it was only running at 1080p60 on a PS5. It was only running it to... See, the people at Pixel Peep, sometimes you shouldn't do that because you don't need to have a game looking absolutely stunning 4K as long as it looks good enough.
If the game's great and you're having fun, you won't even notice.
People discuss this. People pay too much time and attention into sometimes how shiny it's got to look. Whereas if the gameplay is absolutely phenomenal... Oh, he's the worst for it of always, I must admit, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Nothing great.
They didn't add 120 FPS mode, which is disappointing. It would have been nice to have the option. I think games in the PS5 Pro should, with exception of a handful of hardcore titles, should offer that. But it was a demanding game with all the sprites and action and stuff on screen. So yeah. That is out at the moment. It increases the game's resolution by 2.5 fold, which is pretty impressive. Right, the last thing, we found out recently, Half-Life 3 is being widely playtested ahead of a possible summer reveal. Rumour says, before everyone gets too excited, summer reveal with a winter release. Game is playable from beginning to end. That is phenomenal if they've got to that stage. They're at the polish, they're just getting people to try it out. How moist are you right now, Tar? On a level of 1 to 10?
Is someone saying this like unofficially? Is it still? It's still
a rumor.
Right?
I did say rumor.
Okay. But...
It's not official. No.
It's gonna be 5 years.
The rumors are pretty good. Pretty hard.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine after all this rumor milling that it comes out and it's like, haha, it was just a joke. There's no Half-Life 3.
That'll be next year.
April Fool's next year.
They get rated.
I would be so angry. Oh my god.
Charles, the bigger thing is that why aren't you calling them so you could be one of the playtesters? Come on. You need to call Valve and get this going.
Yes.
Me and Gaben, we haven't talked for a little while because I've been on at him for so long about Half-Life 3. He's gotten sick. He doesn't take my calls anymore.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah.
Christ in a bite.
Well, look, I have a key. No, I'm kidding.
This is rumour, of course. However, it's a strong rumour because it comes from a source that isn't just a Joe Bloggs. HLX, if you remember that was the Half-Life 2 kind of ray traced overhaul thing. He's got a bit of insight to this, he's saying, in a recent live stream. Guy's called Tyler McVicker, and he's providing reliable info regarding Valve leaks and rumors, and he has done in the past, so I would believe him over a Joe Bloggs, but he is basically just letting out little nuggets here, and I, for one, believe it because it makes sense. It really does make sense.
I want to believe it.
There's been too many rumors coming from all different directions. I mean, you know, it's got to be true. I mean, Valve would have shut them all down as far as rumors by now. And you notice they haven't made a single move to do that. So you know it's coming. Yeah. There's no doubt.
That's, oh, God, so excited.
You know, whether it's a winter release exactly or not, we don't know for sure. But obviously it seems like they want to go for this year, so. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, now the floodgates are open for games to get in towards the end of the year because we don't have a GTA 6 at the moment. So it's literally a free for all to fit these games in. And well, people will do that. They'll go, okay. Don't be surprised if things are shoehorned in up until like the last minute, like December 31st. Because why not? I would. But yeah, sure. Very excited about that one. Look forward to hearing more news on it. And that is me for now.
All right. Staying in the theme of game news, I got a bunch of stuff to go through. Obviously, we talked about Assassin's Creed before. Shadows is doing very well.
Obviously.
3 million plus players and still going up from what I understand. They're releasing an update. I don't know if they've already... I don't think they've released it yet, but they will. To where they're going to address some of the problems, yes, but they're also going to be dropping some new stuff in for people, and this is not going to cost anybody anything. One of the things that I saw that they're addressing, which I thought was great, if you remember back when I mentioned about playing the game, and that when I'm walking on rooftops and stuff and I try to turn to jump off, it keeps walking in a straight line instead of letting me jump off when I'm supposed to. Well, now they're adding in a whole bunch of new parkour moves. The character's going to be able to leap backwards between buildings. He's going to be able to zigzag between buildings as well, like jumping left, right, left, right, left, right.
I can do that.
And a couple of other things. Yeah, I wish. by the way, side note, it's funny. My son is in Japan right now. He's on a two-week trip to Japan. And he sent me a bunch of pictures over. And I still can't get over when I'm playing the game of just how accurate it is. I see the pictures he's taking of these old temples in Kyoto, Osaka, and other places that are in the game that I'm playing right now. And they're exact. I mean, they're exact. I'm sitting there going, like, wow.
You know why? Because someone went there with one of these fancy camera things and like that's just course, a scan of the building.
Well, I mean, Assassin's Creed has always been one for historic accuracy as much as possible. So, especially when it came to the buildings and stuff. So it's just like wild. But anyway... here's what's going to be happening ever since the new subsidiary with Tencent is involved, and they're going to be planning on a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, a lot more stuff than I thought. Apparently, at the moment, they said they're going to do, over the course of the next 6 years, they're going to have 9 more Assassin's Creed games and 2 RPGs, 3 remakes.
Matt, your mic.
No, it's the keyboard again. Yeah. Anyway, 1 smaller experience, 2 multiplayer games, and 1 mobile title. So 9 games in the next 6 years is pretty interesting. They're going to pull all this off. But in any case, and to get a little more in detail, apparently a couple things have happened. There is also going to be an Assassin's Creed Netflix game that's been canned permanently. So that's not going to happen. Jade is the next game to come up, which is going to be set in China. However, I believe Jade is a mobile game. So if you're into that. Invictus is the working title for Assassin's Creed's Fall Guys inspired game. There's going to be up to 16 players that will be able to play together. They plan on 5-year support for the game, so it's not going to go away overnight or anything. Well, at least we hope not.
Yeah.
The next one after that is called Obsidian, and Obsidian is Assassin's Creed's Black Flag remake, which a lot of people are waiting for because a lot of people said that's one of the best of the run of Assassin's Creed. So if that's true, and I haven't played Black Flag, and it's going to be the remake, I'm like, I'm in.
Ooh, that's gonna be, yeah.
The game after that, After Shadows, is going to be Hex. Originally it was called Neo, but they've officially called it Hex. Although they say that's still a working name, so that may change. So that's going to be coming out next. It's scheduled to have around 2 years of DLC with it once they've done everything with the Shadow. So it's going to be a little time before that comes out. After that, the next one is going to be called Scarlet. Well, for now, it's going to be called Scarlet. And that'll be probably after Hex as well. They haven't really had any details on why they call it Scarlet. Some people have some suspicions that taking place in India or the Mediterranean or possibly the Aztec Empire. But that's not out yet, of course. Stardust is a second remake. They haven't said which game they're going to remake, but the project's called Stardust, so that's going to be coming along. Then we have Emerald, which will come out after Stardust, which apparently is going to be another multiplayer title with at least 5 years backing it. And supposedly this is going to be PvE as well as some PvP. So that's kind of cool. And then after that, they call it RPG3 because they don't have a name yet, nor do they ever even have a code name. So this is going we're going farther and farther into the future. And then finally their third remake, which they have not said what they're going to remake, will be happening. So basically we're covered for now until 2031, I guess. So me being a fan, and I know there's a bunch of fans out there, I'm happy about it. I'm hoping it's going to be as good as I see. Doesn't mean it will be, but I'm hoping it will. Anyway, to move on to Oblivion, the remake, which I believe Matt played last week and he was talking to us about it. But Matt, I just found out that, did you know that, what's his name? Todd Howard is actually in Oblivion.
Yes. Yeah.
I read this and I was going what are they talking about? Apparently he was involved in testing of Oblivion. This is for real when they first did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used him to, have different expressions.
Have the voice,
sorrow, happy, smile, cry, whatever. And apparently you can get into this. It says here that if you save your game and then open the console by pressing the tilde key, then type COC space Todd Test. So TODDTEST. So COC space Todd Test and press enter. They said the screen will slowly fade away. And then it fades up where you're in a small house. And there's a character there sitting in front of you with armor and stuff on him, and it's Todd Howard. So, the only thing that I thought was kind of cool about it is that apparently, since it was a test base or whatever, you can actually go through it and ask it to be angry, ask it to be fear, ask it to show happy, sad, neutral, surprise, you know, or whatever. They also said that if you continue to talk, you know, nice to him, he'll actually supposedly fall in love with you. And I was sitting there going, Todd Howard falling in love with us. Okay.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. But apparently it's all there. They said also many of the quirks that people have pointed out in the game when they first played it, many of them are still there. They could have easily taken them out, but they decided that why? Because everybody likes some of the quirks, so they just left every one of them in. So apparently if you know, I don't know what they all are because I haven't really played the game in the past, but apparently you can, if you've discovered any or if you know some of them, you know, they're on the internet, you can look it up. These things are staying in. So I thought that was kind of cool. They not to take anything out. That was fun. Like putting the pot over your head and stealing people blind.
Yeah.
I can't see
that
you.
Handy.
The next thing I want to talk about, I don't know if you guys watched the trailer, but Borderlands 4 came out with a gameplay trailer, not just cinematic, but gameplay. They also did a deep dive. I think the gameplay trailer was like 2.5 minutes or something. And then they came out with about a 20-minute deep dive. And I looked at these more than once just to see what's going on. And I'm telling you, this game looks good. I mean, it really looks good. I mean, it's still in the same style as far as the animated-ish kind of thing. But it looks slick. It looks there's more natural movement going on in the characters. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I thought the games before were beautiful. This is really beautiful. There's going to be new, apparently, 5 weapon slots now. There's going to be 3 manufacturers of weapons added on to the other manufacturers as well. If you've never played the game, every manufacturer kind of has a slant towards a type of weapon or whatever. But I thought what was really cool is that now what they're going to do is they have something called licensed parts. And so if you like one or two things on your gun from X company, and then you like one or two things from this company, and you like one or two things from that company, now you can sit there and mod your own gun with the characteristics of all the other manufacturers in the game.
That's nice.
So that's pretty cool because now you can take the best of the best, supposedly, or what you like, and put it all into your gun. The other thing they're going to do that they had people complain about on Borderlands 3 was they felt that the loot drops were way too frequent and that they were throwing legendaries around like they were candy. So they said that basically that's all going to stop. Lower drop rates so that way what you get feels more valuable. The legendaries are not going to come up that often. When they do, they said they're going to be truly special. And you'll be happy to see what happens at the end. So I thought it looked great. And they're talking about releasing it in September. And this is what's nice. I mean, they're putting out all this information. I thought we had to wait a while, but we're talking September. So
that's not far at all.
I don't know about, you guys, but I'm looking forward to that.
Great, that's how you do it. That's when you announce a game and that's when you release it. You announce it 6 months before because then you're confident pretty much it is going to come out at that time. You don't announce it with like a year or more to go and then go, oh shit, we didn't actually think about this and we didn't know until near the time that we actually had to delay it, GTA style.
I think it's you're right. I wish they all would do that. I think some of them are starting to lean towards doing that again. It's almost like coming back around full circle to what we were used to and what we expected, and maybe putting games out a little bit sooner than we having to wait 4 years or something. I hope you know that all proves true. The last thing I wanted to cover is Expedition 33, or to be exact, if I'm pronouncing it right. Claire Obscure. Everybody just keeps calling it Expedition 33, so whatever. I decided to play the game and make a report now to everybody out there. So I did play it for a few hours. I'm going to make more of a judgment also when I get deeper into it. But I'm going to tell you right now, this game to me has got to be named one of the game of the years. I mean, it is really, really fun.
Really?
It's absolutely wonderful. The thing that I really liked about it, there's several things I like about it. The art design is beautiful. They decided to pattern it off of a city in the 1800s, France. mm-hmm. or so. So it's got a real Parisian feel to it, I guess. And apparently it's selling quite well because they've sold 1 million copies in 3 days.
Wow.
And they said it's outsold a previous game that had a record of whatever. I'm trying to think what the game was. I think it was a Metaphor ReFantazio. It's so outselling. It's not really set in it's not really set in France per se. Okay. It's a Parisian city. But it's outselling ReFantazio by 2-1. So.
A Parisian city means it is Paris.
I know, but I meant the Parisian feel.
It's not really right, okay.
Right?
The style, the feel of it.
The art direction is fabulous. I mean, when you look at this, the game looks very gorgeous. And it's definitely not your typical turn-based strategy. It's that there's so much more. It's hard to really explain. It's almost like a cross between an RPG and turn-based as well. What are you guys doing? I'm sitting there talking.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This one, Gray, really piqued my interest because I'm a big Final Fantasy fan and I love turn-based strategy games, JRPGs. So, I'm really interested in playing this.
Some of the people involved with this, you'll like to know, is came from Square Enix and so forth. So they left there and came to join this new company.
That doesn't surprise me.
What's really interesting, and I think we've all been noticing this, is that I'm reading more and more articles where people are leaving Ubisoft, leaving Bethesda, leaving this, leaving that, all these main companies, and they're all going out and forming their own little companies and putting out stellar games with 30, 40, 50, 60 people, and that's it.
Yeah, I heard this was 30x Ubisoft people that made the game in 3 years. And the level of polish is incredible.
Some of them are Ubisoft, not all of them, to be fair.
Well, I think they said the majority of them are.
Majority of the team might be, maybe. I don't know. But I know there's some other people from other places. This is going on now in a lot of areas, and I think it's great. It's not that I want to see Ubisoft fall, but if you're going to want the games to go back to where they needed to be, then this is happening now. A lot of these games are coming out like this, which is just wonderful for us. But anyway, like I was saying, the art design is absolutely fabulous. The turn-based strategy, it plays the very beginning of the game. I'm not going to give anything away. It plays like a really good RPG, very, very much emotional, like God of War. And Chubb would remember there's a lot of scenes in God of War that you really got emotionally involved in. That was done because it was done so well.
Emotional game I ever felt was The Last of Us, more than that, mate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm.
Even more than that.
I agree, but that's a little different because it was built for that. Mm-hmm. This one has an interesting story. Without giving it away, you'll notice when you play it, and then you're just kind of like, whoa. I think the actions, the way that people move, the way they design this whole thing, I mean, the story is absolutely fabulous. And everybody in the game really comes off as being a character that you care about. So there's a group of characters that you really are getting vested in. And this is only from the few hours I played. I keep on hearing that the part one that I'm playing right now is nothing compared to part two. So if part two is going to be better than what I've already played, then okay. Then I'm looking forward to getting into the rest of it. So based on just what I was doing, I thought it was great. The turn-based style, you have a lot of choice. You have choices of what you want to do. So it takes, if you're not used to turn-based, there's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's nothing really difficult whatsoever. And then when you get to pick each of the players and their particular strengths or powers, you have a choice of different things you can use. And it really is kind of neat because it does come down to strategy like it's supposed to. You throw certain certain attacks certain ways. You start learning what characters or what bosses or whatever are vulnerable to whatever attacks and kind of go there. But the game is so lush and beautiful that every time you turn around, you want to know what the next thing is that you're going to see. And the next thing after that, the next thing after that. So you really are pushed to wanting to keep playing, which is what a game should really do. So, if you want to get into it, Tarl, I would. And you're not into turn-based, but you might want to try it, especially since it's on PC Game Pass. You might be a little surprised. I'm not saying you're going to go gaga over it, but you might be surprised that you might like it.
I was watching a bit on Twitch the other day of this game, and I was interested because it didn't seem turn-based at the time, but I think they were at a holding site or something where you go shopping or you pick up certain things So none of that I was watching at the time was turn-based. So maybe it's just part of it.
It's definitely not the typical turn-based because mm-hmm. it's really a true kind of hybrid between an RPG and a turn-based. Because there's things that you're doing and you can see and you can enjoy, you know. But when it comes to battle, it switches.
That's where it is. Yeah. Okay.
Gray, is there another game that you think you can say it's most similar to? No.
Not at all.
Really? So it's pretty unique then.
Well, now remember, what I've been seeing or what I've been reading is that people that are fans of the older Final Fantasy games before they became you know newer or didn't involve turn-based anymore because they got rid of it. They are pretty happy about it because they see the lineage going on. Okay. Now I can't say that because I didn't play those games. I can only tell you that what I'm seeing to me is totally original from top to bottom.
Wow.
I
read that one of the guys that was quite high up in the team, his favorite game was Final Fantasy X. So that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. That was the last truly great Final Fantasy game, I think.
I mean, even some of the pictures, if you look at them, look wonderful. And you think, and what you see in the pictures is 10 times better when you're in the game.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, it's you really get interested in the characters very swiftly and so forth. And so
it sounds great.
It is very good. If it stays this way and gets even better, I'm like, oh, the other thing I thought was real interesting is that apparently even before the game came out, they already cut a deal for a movie.
Oh.
They were that much. Wow. They were apparently from what I've read, they said that that they were so interested in what the game was going to be and what it is and the world that they fell in love with it even before the game came out. So
they get a really good deal then. Basically, like there you go. There's like 50p and like two bottles of soda or something. There you go. There's a deal. Boom, signed. Because like they don't know. You get away with giving them very little.
Mm-hmm. See, but I'm just impressed because most times they don't take chances on stuff like that before they even come out. You know, they wait a while and they say, oh, that's a good franchise. Let's make a movie. This is just like, let's make a movie and I'm not worried about when the game comes out. It'll be fine.
Well, let's be honest, guys. Game adaptations into movies, I mean, they're not great.
I guess it depends.
Most
of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you, if they were able to pull off a movie that looks as good as this game, I'll go see it. It'll be great.
Minus the Hollywood tariff.
Yeah, of course. we'll see, though. That's a big thing. We haven't even seen Witcher season 4 yet.
4, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I get to the point where I don't even care anymore. I mean, it's been so long, you know, and stuff. But I mean, I'll still watch it. But you know, it's been a long time.
Well, you got Andor for now.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second season, although I loved the first season. So, and I heard the second's pretty good too. So,
I've still to catch up. Still to catch up on Daredevil, man.
Daredevil. Oh yeah.
I haven't watched Daredevil yet. I'm finally more or less caught up with Wheel of Time, which is great. I love that show.
I haven't even started that. I think I watched one and I didn't like it.
Which one?
That's a different Wheel of Time. I watched a little bit of it, but then I didn't like it.
No. Oh,
apparently, the second season is a lot better.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, definitely. It gets stronger. It gets strong. Well, I don't know about that. I kind of the first to get the idea.
But I watched the first few episodes and gave up because I thought it was terrible. But then my friend was telling me a couple of weeks ago that season 2 is really worth looking at again.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll do that. Hey, look,
like anything else, and even in games, if you have something that lays the groundwork and then continues to get better, I'm all for it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't. Even though the second season was better, that doesn't mean the first season was bad. Same as like sometimes when you play some games. If you play the first game, they go like, oh, they can't top that. Well, Doom's a good example.
Yeah.
Doom's 2016, I didn't think they were going to come out with one better than that. And then they came out with the next one. And now they're coming out with this one coming up. And this one looks better than the other two.
Every Doom has been excellent, mate. I generally can't think of a bad Doom.
You know, that I always say, I sound like a broken record, but I think that's the poster child of what companies should be doing. Mm-hmm. It consistently pushes the boundaries. They have the best optimized games in the world. They know what they're doing. They have creative people that come up with stuff that, I mean, every time I watch what they come up with as far as guns and what they do or whatever, it's just like another whoa.
Because they don't change things massively great. Like they stick to a formula, which is safe, is good. It's not a bad thing. They stick to the same engine and they just bring out iterations of it because it's already excellent. And they add things to it without changing. Like Doom 2016 to Doom today isn't night and day difference, but there's enough changes in it to make it and improve it and just make it better that it's great. And that and more games and franchises should do that, like Grace says.
Oh, like like all of them, maybe?
Yeah. <Or whatever.
laughs> Anyway, that's my game news, and Matt's going to give us a couple of on what he's been doing. So what's your game news, Matt?
Oh, well, news it is indeed, but not good news. This is all about money. It's not making money. It's giving money, a lot more money. And here it is, honey. So Honey is hiking PlayStation 5 prices all because of Trev.
The envelope.
Yeah. So, in a very surprising move, Sony has announced an increase to the prices of its popular PlayStation 5 console across several regions. This is affecting area which includes Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and New Zealand.
I already talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
However, you can pivot on the Xbox side of things, Matt.
I could do that because that's the next one along.
Because they recently increased things massively, more than PlayStation did, actually. So that's actually a better subject. Let's pick in Microsoft.
Let's do that. Yeah. So, yeah, what a shame, PlayStation. What are you doing? Right, now on to Microsoft. shame, Microsoft. There we go. They're rising prices of the Xbox hardware and their games. This is a move that has caught the attention of gamers worldwide. Microsoft had announced the increase to its Xbox hardware, which now costs about £100 more than its previous retail price.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
What was the pound difference, Matt? Because the dollar difference was it was like $130 more. I didn't know what would increased it pound-wise more.
So I think it's about £80 for the GP euros. I think it was about 85-90 euros.
But why?
Yeah.
But why? The American tariffs don't affect us. I knew this would happen. It's because they have to put it up. And sorry, Graham, not picking on the states here, mate. I know it's powerful, big,
you can
country and all that, cause... you know. But no. But it's the consumer. It's not the consumer's fault, basically. So America is such a big market for them, I get it. It's a massive country. I get it. The prices go up because of Trump, and we try our best not to get into politics here, and I won't. I don't agree with what they're doing, right? I'm just going to say it right now. I don't agree with what that guy's doing, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you vote for him, that's what happens. So he puts it up there. Everyone that's bringing in things into the country, products, consoles in this situation, has to put the prices up. Do I blame them? Partly, but not completely, because their hand's been forced. But it isn't happening in the EU. It isn't happening in the UK. It isn't happening in other bits of the world. And you're putting it up there. You're doing it so that...
you can be greedy.
The American consumers don't get as angry because, they're putting up against the whole world. I'm sorry, the Americans... A lot of people didn't vote for them, and I feel sorry for those guys. But the guys that did, hell, slap it in. It's your own fault you're paying more for a console, man. So, sorry, I get a bit irate, but this is... Sorry, finish it off, Gray. Matt's put here money, right? Which, initially, if he put PlayStation, blah, blah, I could have told him beforehand. Don't say that bit. But I'm also glad he did put that because it sums up his two news articles perfectly. And that says, sorry, Gray. I've got a bit irate there.
All good. Yeah. So they probably heard about your tangent. This is why I blamed you. And they said, well, if PlayStation could do it, we're going to do it twice as bad. So there you go. So they're telling us that it's because of various challenges. They are challenging.
Yeah, challenging on us.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is rising production costs and supply chain disruptions. Let me just move my mouse out of the way. That might actually help. So Microsoft spokesperson explained that the price hike was necessary to maintain the quality.
Yeah, sure.
Quality and availability of their products in the market. They like you up the bum. The gaming community has mixed reactions. They don't have mixed reactions. They're all think you're a bunch of fucktards.
Yeah, exactly.
Reaction. And you should have your dick fingers thrown in there. So anyway,
I want to hear this rant on the Steam Shot Workshop. What are you ranting on?
Oh, yeah, I'll go to that one. So, yeah, everybody's very frustrated. May impact the accessibility of Xbox hardwares and games, especially for those planning to buy very soon. I don't know if this affects people that do the rental thing that some people kind of do. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? All we know that we like the people. But woo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go. Microsoft's decision to raise prices follows similar moves for other major players in the gaming industry, which, yeah, there you go. You see, it just says we're copying Sony because we want more money, basically, exactly, at the end of it. So there you go. Yeah,
and we all said that. Typical. We've been saying that for weeks.
Yeah, yep. So a lot of people, even people that I know, they're like, you know what, I'm PlayStation all the way, and I used to do PlayStation, and then I went to Xbox, and then I had PC everywhere.
I was
now
the other way about me. I used to be Xbox, and I was Xbox original, Xbox 360, loved them. Xbox One came out and just was awful, and I went, I'm not staying with you to be for the sake of being loyal. I'm going to go to PlayStation because you guys are shit, and I've been in PlayStation ever since. And there's no point going to an Xbox when I've got the ultimate Xbox. It's called a PC, boys and girls, sitting right here.
PC! There you go. Yeah, so rants. Okay, very quick one, because this really does my gripe in. A lot of people were messaging me, DMing me, or through the for ages now, asking
Matt, sorry to pause you there. I'm really sorry to interrupt. Turn that bloody eye thing off in broadcast.
Noticed.
I knew you were at it for a while, mate. Turn it off, and I'm kicking you off the pod, man. He's doing my... Do you know what it is? Like, for people that are listening and not watching, it's you know that picture of your granny or your grandma you've got sitting in the corner? She's no longer with you, but you love her, so she's still there. And you're on the other side of the room, and her eyes feckin' follow you. That is him, you creepy bar steward. Get off.
It even changes the colour of the eyes as well. Yeah.
You turn it off now, you have. Right, okay, carry on, you git.
So,
watch good plays if you want to know what we just did.
Yeah, absolutely. You love those eyes. They actually changed my eye color to blue as well. I look sexy in blue. Anyway,
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Do you know?
It's camo.
Did you not know
when he puts on a certain...
I didn't notice.
Did you call Brent? What's
did,
it called
you not, did you not did you notice that he was looking
contact
at his...
Wait a minute.
I was sitting there. Every time he puts this thing on, all of a sudden his eyes start glowing, and it looks like he's like
get off.
He looks like he's Dorian Gray from the paintings.
I noticed ages ago.
50 Shades of Podcast.
I was like, I'm going to give him a bat, and then I'm going to give him a virtual Ronan Keaton.
Yeah, that's why I was laughing earlier on.
It's kind of like Doom, you know, those the demons that they glow like this, and
yeah. There you go.
The rant on the Steam Workshop.
So anyway, so everybody was asking what's happening with this DayZ server and whether I'd ever get it up going again. And I was like, nah, can't be asked. And this is mainly because on DayZ you got the Steam Workshop, so you got mods that you can use.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, it's there, it's for public to use. That's why it's there, that's why there's a workshop. And that's what Steam says as well, you know, it's there for the public. They are good, these expansions, and I do name them to say, you know, to give them the rights, because why not? You know, I'm nice like that. So these guys from my DayZ comes in on one of my servers and goes, this is our server. And I was like, no, it's not, it's mine. And they're like, yeah, but it's our mods, and we didn't give you the rights to use our mods. And I was like, it's in the workshop.
Seriously?
Back up. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, and it's for the DayZ expansions because it makes it look really nice with the foliage and all that stuff. And yeah, I'm named and shamed you. Fuck you guys. Fuck your mother. Yeah. There you go. Ooh. Yeah.
Now, what ultimately happened? Did you have to?
Oh, I deleted. Yeah, I got rid of their mods. I took their names out of it, and basically I just called it the DayZ Wankathon instead. Yeah, but they were just so annoying. And, you know, I did say to them, look, this is on the workshop on Steam. If you don't want people to use it, take it off and put it somewhere else so people can pay for it or give you blowjobs for it, whatever you want to do. A bit of the old anal thing, you know, that you want. People will do it,
really,
I'm sure. All right. Yeah, bye, Jeff. Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, absolute nightmare. Hate them.
There you go.
Other than that, every other modder that's that I've used, that, you know, they come along and they appreciate it and all that stuff, and I always give them a little review saying, oh, this mod is awesome. So, yeah. So it's just those guys that are absolute dicks. There you go. Yeah.
Now, Trev needs to follow up with hardware tech news after that one.
I do. Yeah, how are you going to follow up with that? You'll have to say something.
It goes on to mention that it's gaming segment. Of course, that's the bit we're interested in, because I don't think... Does any of us have an Xbox console?
No.
Okay. We don't need to get PCs.
Yeah.
Oh, so we like the Game Pass side of things. There's, I think... Tarl doesn't have... You don't have Game Pass, Tarl, do you? Do you? No.
But no.
I think the other three do, so it's relevant. It's gaming segment saw increases of 5%.
Even though
they need to put prices up even more, with Xbox content and services experiencing an 8% rise, mainly driven by the success of course, the Game Pass, Call of Duty and Minecraft. They are, of course, the most lucrative things that Microsoft have got in the gaming side of things. And the recent earnings call, Nadella, their head honcho, revealed that Microsoft was the top publisher on Xbox and PlayStation stores when it comes to pre-orders and pre-installs. That is impressive, and it shows that their recent pivot to not doing exclusive just for on console and putting it out everywhere is actually paying off, because they're richer than even rich. So... It's only Sony now and Nintendo that do this. Wise move. I'm glad Nadella actually pushed them to do this. It means people outside the Microsoft ecosystem can get in amongst it. I mean, Indiana Jones that came out recently is a massive hit right now on PlayStation. So I'm glad everyone can get involved in that now. PC Game Passes, which we are predominantly interested in, because there is the console pass, and then there's Ultimate, I believe, as well, which is everything above. I've got the Ultimate, includes cloud gaming for those that can put up with that. The PC side of things, this is what blows my mind. Revenue increased over 45% year in year, while Xbox cloud gaming set a new record this quarter of 150 million hours played compared to 140 in Q2. Now, they don't announce how many people they've got in Game Pass. I think they're a bit nervous and cautious on it, but they are talking about the amount of hours for cloud gaming, which does have a place. It's not for me, but it's... For example, I won't be in the pod next week, boohoo, I know, because I'll be in Copenhagen with work, right? That's where the work is. That's where the headquarters are. I will be playing Xbox Game Pass and the Ultimate, the cloud stuff at night in a hotel. I don't want to socialise with people. So I'll be Xbox cloud gaming, man, with my Doom controller, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's just hope the hotel Wi-Fi is decent. But yeah, PC Game Pass is 45%, and they haven't put it up much. They don't want to alienate the PC guys.
What is it in the States?
$10? It's like £9 or something.
No, it's more than that.
Just the PC Pass. No, not the Ultimate, the PC Pass.
Oh, the basic one.
Yeah, I think I went up to 12 now.
So it's like something. 10 or maybe 10 for us, and 9 or 10. That's value. That is value, man. You don't get that value in any other subscription service I'm aware of. I include Spotify, I include Netflix, I include a bunch of stuff like that. Yeah. Fantastic.
On that side, I agree. But the reason why I threw that in there for you is the fact that, yes, that's good. But when you read about what they made, you're talking about 5% increase on one side, 8% on another, 45% year over year on all their gaming stuff, and then you find out how they're raising the prices, and then they're going. And then when you read stories like, you know, well, you know, the tariffs and this thing, and it's hard for us to produce these games. We're not making enough money. Boo hoo hoo. And then I see this, and I go like, you're making multiple millions by these percentage points. Remember, when you see 5%, you think like, oh, 5%, that's pretty good, but that's not that much. But yeah, it is. When you translate it to real money, they're making plenty. And when you take a figure like 45%, I don't even want to get started on that one and how much money they make. So essentially, they're having good years, year after year, good quarters, quarter after quarter, and they're going to sit there and gouge us by raising prices, $100 on a console, $80 games,
et cetera, et cetera. And that's not just Microsoft. Those are the figures that I only got because I went to an industry site that basically that's what all they do. That's all they do. You know, that's all you see are articles about the industry. So I was able to pull that out of it. And it's not just Microsoft, even though this is information that we got about Microsoft. It's the same going across the board with Sony and everybody else that wants to gouge us. So we said it weeks ago here that once we started the first prices start to go up, or the rumors of the prices going up,
we all said that we now jump
the floodgates. And yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And it's a shame. And you know, I would almost agree, almost, not quite, would almost agree if they came out and said, oh, well, we lost gaming revenue by 5%, or we lost money on PC Game Pass, you know, or blah, blah, blah. Fine. Okay, I can maybe understand it. But they're not. They're making more than ever. They're not suffering at all.
That's why they're putting the prices up, like Matt and I just said, with the hardware and the software. I'd maybe understand the hardware side of things if it was in proportion to the tariffs and just for the States.
Yeah.
But they're then doing it with the software side of things. And where's this unofficial rule of putting up £10, $10 every generation? I could live with that. I think that's fair. That's compensating for inflation in the world that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But then putting it up even more so, even quicker, and then putting money up for the service side of things when you're making 45% increase, that's what you call greed. And I think was it maybe Hans or someone else said earlier on in the Discord that it's to do with people maybe getting to the point of there must be a snapping point. And I actually disagree with that briefly, and really briefly, it's because people will pay for these things, right? I see this a lot. I don't like to tie this into football, my football, our football, but that happens a lot. My team I support, things will go up, but people keep paying them because we're so loyal. I think that's the same with PC gamers as well, right? Yep. We're so loyal and hardcore, even more so than the console peasants, gamers, sorry, I play consoles as well, but I had to get a little joke in there. We're so loyal, and we will keep paying it. And he says, oh, maybe there'll be a snapping point. No, I don't think there will be. Because people keep they will keep putting the prices up as long as people keep paying it. So what's the alternative? Don't pay it. But that won't happen.
But to counter that a little bit, if they raise the price, the amount that they're raising it, they only need less people to buy at that price. So technically they're losing people, the ones that snap, so to speak, and that aren't going to buy that kind of stuff. But they don't care because they build that into the figure. So they said they're going like, yeah, we'll lose some of these people, but in the long run, the people that really want it are going to pay whatever price we want to charge. And that's the way it works, man.
I know. I was being fair to Taro because he's been such a busy guy this week that he wanted to join us, but he didn't have as much time to throw as many things in as he wanted to. So we wanted to, you know, so he had things to say. Not that he doesn't have things to say. Oh, he has things to say. Trust me, boys and girls.
Now he does.
We can talk about Half-Life 3 some more. I've got things to say about that.
Hey.
I had it in, my man. Right, really, really quickly with this one. I found this interesting for one or two reasons. There is going to be, it was officially announced, AMD new 9070 GRE. Now, it's kind of a bit of a weird one. It's one of these Chinese exclusive cards. Now, the GRE stands for, and I bullshit you not with this, Golden Rabbit Edition. I mean, that sounds like a sexy toy. As all I say, it sounds like a sexy toy, right?
Did you say rabbit or rabbit?
Yeah, Golden Rabbit Edition. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so now, this one is a thing that has happened before. AMD typically launches Golden Rabbit Editions. When I can't take seriously saying that, I really can't. For the Chinese market exclusively. It really does. They've had quite a few things in the past. Now, this one, the kind of main difference, apart from the sexy kind of adult sexy toy appendage thing attached to it, is
from Morrison's.
It's going to have 12 gigs of VRAM.
Ooh.
And now, I can see Taro here kind of shaking his head, agreeing, but at the same time, he's probably, you know, pissed off because I think we're at understanding now that it's still ridiculous that, I'll get to in a moment, like the 5080, I've got 16 gig of RAM. Like at that stage, that should be the minimum or the norm because games haven't hit that, but you want a little bit of breathing space and room for the future. 16's not enough, man, for the price you pay. 16 should be the minimum in any card.
That's a low, yes, yeah.
But what is the price difference, though, from the regular 9070?
Do we have a price at the moment?
If it's $100 less, then I think it's okay.
The price is $4,496 RMB, which if you put in the math there, after deducting the 20% VAT, the price comes down to $3,359, which is about $450. So it is lower.
Yeah, granted. That's about $100. $100 less than the...
But 12 gig? I mean, there was a rant from... was not Unbox Therapy. What's the one with Steve in it? Is it Unbox Therapy? Is it Unbox?
Hardware Unboxed.
Hardware Unboxed, mm-hmm. Yeah. That, why are we bringing out cards that are like 8, 10, 12 now? Like... That would maybe cope at 1440p, but any more than that, you'd start struggling, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but dude, you know, Nvidia are bringing out cards that are almost the same price with 8 gigabytes of RAM.
No, so I'm saying they're the biggest, they're the guilty, the most guiltiest party, man.
They're not selling though. 8 gigs.
Yeah.
Are they mainly for just for workforce people, maybe that want to play Minecraft? Still sell. Yeah.
It's for everybody that wants to run 8-bit games
But the thing is that this card is capable, the normal 9070 XT is actually capable of 4K gaming. But the problem you've got there is the VRAM start to become a bit of a challenge, that you need the VRAM mostly for all your shiny 4K textures and whatnot, right? So you might actually then be forced to actually start gaming at 1440p, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not knocking that resolution. A lot of people do it. It's just like, as Matt and I know, once you go 4K, you can't go back.
Yeah.
And 1440p, maybe you can enjoy higher FPS to try and compensate, but there's not as much longevity in that card now because games are just iterating and evolving so quickly with games engines and VRAM and all that. That'll be out of date way quicker than my 5080, for example, so...
I think the thing with the GRE version is that usually it's sold into China as an exclusive, but then after a little while is not exclusive, and then we get them in the West. Yeah. And actually, the GRE tends to be a really good price-to-performance model, probably one of the best it has been in each time we've seen one. So I think this is fine. $100 less than the regular version to go from 16 to 12. Honestly, I think that's pretty decent. And it looks like the specs in terms of the shader cores and everything are just really similar. So I think this would be a reasonable choice, reasonable option.
No,
I think mid-gamers, you know, that are not on the high-end gaming are really where the meat is for something like that. And that's cool. That's for them. And that's good. Look, I have 12 on my 4070 Super, but I'm not going to go crying that I don't have.
Do
16.
You only have 12?
The 4070 Super overclock.
That's only this whole time I've been gaming with a peasant, and I didn't realize it. What?
The 70 series has been been the biggest decline out of all of the Nvidia cards. It has gone down the drain. The 70 series used to be great. Now it is the absolute worst of the worst.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? My card on eBay is getting more money than I paid for it.
Yeah, it's wild.
I'll wait to see the 4090, man, as Hans put in earlier on. Wow.
Trev, I'm interested to...
eBay selling them for $3,000.
Oh.
Wait,
4090. Okay, a quick disclaimer. We had some massive technical problems on our last recording. So this particular recording is only about an hour long instead of our usual 90 minutes to 2 hours. We apologize. There's nothing we could do about it. But now you know. Thanks. Bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one. And that one is you.